And there are some married people, what words shall I use? And the name of God, start getting up earlier so you can get to Mass. And stop watching television and wasting your time at night so you get a good night's sleep and then be able in the morning to get to Mass and receive Holy Communion. You need the grace. And of course that means we remain in the state of grace if we pray and receive the sacraments. Number three, the graces must be cooperated with. As we believe, every time that God wants us to do something, He gives us an illumination in mind or an inspiration of the will. That's what we call God giving us holy thoughts and holy desires. But, and this is, we were trained from the first weeks of the novitiate and told to teach others, examine your conscience every night. Every night. I may have said the equivalent before, but if you don't examine your conscience before you retire, I'm going to ask my guardian angel to tell your guardian angel to keep you awake so you won't be able to go to sleep. And then, oh no, that Father Hardin, no wonder I can't fall asleep. I did not make my examen of conscience. Make it. And the one thing we should examine our consciences on is what graces did I get during the day and did I respond to them? And graces, remember, are channeled by people. How did I react to a person who was unkind to me? How did I react to a person, say, who was late when I was on time? Or was on time when I was late? Our days are flooded. I use that verb deliberately. Our days are flooded with graces. So, God gives, we're speaking about, and two married people, give you graces. Be sure to recognize a grace when you see it and examine your consciences. I've been doing this all my Jesuit life and I recommend this to you. It's great. Number four, ability to go beyond strict duties. Whatever else you married people should never ask yourselves. Do I have to do it? No. If you really love someone, then what do? The proof of love. If I love someone, I want to unite myself in will with that person. I want what that person wants. Over the years, I've distinguished between what I call volitional love and manual love. Manual love is poise. You can embrace, oh gosh, anybody. In fact, you can embrace anything. Doesn't even have to be a human being. Some weeks ago, in the doctor's, never thought I'd live to see this. There's a magazine called A Dog Digest. If only more Americans gave some of the language they give to their animal pets, husbands to their wives and vice versa. parents to their children and children to their parents, we'd be a happier nation. Love is in the wheel. I love someone when I unite my will with a person I claim to love. And five, graces are to be apostolic. In other words, husbands are sources of grace, channels of grace to their wives, and wives to their husbands. Now remember, I've said this before, but I want to make sure you don't forget. Let me ask a question. Are all the graces that God sends us, are they always pleasant?
No.
Is there such a thing as a painful grace?
Yes. Yes.
No. You don't tell the wife, my dear, I didn't realize it. You are the most painful grace in my... No. Parents to their children. If only parents realized, and you young parents, the most important thing you can do for the children that you are, say, bringing into the world is to be as holy as you possibly can yourselves. Now, your children can still, of course, resist the grace. But at least, you then become a channel of grace for them. And over the years, I didn't realize when I was back home, but I realize now, oh, the mother that God gave me, the channel of grace. Never once do I remember a single day ever that she missed Mass. Never. And it's not just example. It's being a channel of that grace for which there's no substitute. And children, of course, to their parents. The parents are channels of grace to their children, and the children are channels of grace to you parents. You'd never again, you parents, never again lose your temper. Realize your children are channels of grace. Does that mean you may never use your temper? Oh, no, you can use your temper, but never lose it. And, of course, the children, can they be painful graces in your lives? Yes. But you love them. Families to families. And this is something we could spend two semesters on this subject. The Holy Father, present Pope, talks about the apostate of families to families. Strong families, believing families, being a source of grace to other families who need. And this, I repeat, not merely example. God gives grace to a family by its contact with a strongly believing family. Choose your friends. Choose your acquaintances. Be selective. And when you say be selective, that means there are some people, because God wants it, you do not cultivate their friendship. You just don't. There are some people in our life that may be good business. All right, but then distinguish between people in your life that may be good business and people who are channels of grace. And having said that, I'll answer some of your questions. Is it recommended for elementary children to attend evening Mass in a Catholic school? Well, it's the only kind of Catholic education that I know. Daily Mass. But as our country becomes less and less Christian and more pagan, so many things that are commonplace in the history of the Catholic Church become strange. What if my child's godparent is no longer a Roman Catholic or has committed a mortal sin? Should the child get a new godparent? Well, first of all, I'd say work on the godparent in the hope there were two godparents. That's why it's a good idea to have two, in case one of them somehow fails. So, now, you don't really get a new godparent. You cannot substitute once the child is baptized. That's it. Nevertheless, and this is a responsibility that some of us, I think, should examine our consciences, our children say, for whom we have been godparents, has not just, you might say, cliche or a pious practice. It bears with it a heavy responsibility. What is your opinion of Father William Most's ideas about grace? I'm not familiar with the... Is it a book?
No.
I'm not familiar. I know Father William Most. I know him to be a good priest. I do not know what he wrote about grace. But I can recommend Father Most. Can you tell us about Maliki Martin? Oh, yes. Very briefly, Father Maliki Martin, as you know, had been a Jesuit in good standing. Father Maliki Martin is no longer a member of the Society of Jesus. However, Father Maliki Martin does say Mass, and he assures me with full permission of the Holy See. In other words, that he is, as he tells me, a priest in good standing with the Church. Can you please talk about what is in the new encyclical by Pope John Paul II? Maybe what we might do by next week. What if we take some time out and tell you what's in the new encyclical? Well, I can tell you, it is new for many people, but it is straight and unqualified. How do you reply to a 60-year-old married man who is mad at God? His basic thesis is, I didn't ask to be born. Well, if this 60-year-old man is angry with God, if he really means what he's doing, he's blaspheming. In other words, God is both the source of our existence, and it is on him that we depend constantly. And therefore, no one asked to be born. But what this person should look at is what in his life he should thank God for. And we can become so preoccupied with our problems or with our suffering, our trial, we don't realize, and I've said this before, but I could repeat this to my dying breath, the most precious graces in our lives are the problems, the pain, the suffering that God sends us. And as you know, the problem with what we call pain is that we resist the will of God. Once you accept what God sends you or gives you, well, it may still be painful, but you will enjoy it. We talked about this before, didn't we? This is real. I didn't learn it last night. As Hosea was married to the harlot Gomer to be a channel of grace to God's people, Israel, as a sign of God's grace to his people, is there any rationale for a believer to marry one he knows will be a great trial and burden to him, assuming the mate will perfect him in holiness and patience and be a channel of grace to others? No. Unless, like the prophet, you got a special revelation. If God chooses some wicked person and then reveals to you that he wants you to marry that person, well, you better check out whether it's a revelation or not. So, this is under divine revealed guidance. The answer is no, barring such a situation. Could you affirm or deny your call to Mother Angelica to a maker order, a pontifical order? Explain. I'm not sure, but was I supposed to call her Mother Angelica to help make her order a pontifical order? Her order is pontifical. So, in other words, it is by the call of papal right. So, I do on occasion call her Mother Angelica. I occasionally, rarely, get calls from her. But no need. She's got it. Should we take our children to communion services when there is no Mass? Often there are women giving sermons. Well, this is the trial that you people are suffering, and it's a trial. I would have to say that your conscience be your guide, though I would recommend, well, receiving communion, if it is humanly possible, at Mass. Receiving communion at Mass. And where there are no women giving sermons. However, and this, I repeat, is a decision you'd have to make. Given, well, your resentment and justifiable anger and all the rest. Should you nevertheless say, take your children to communion services when there was no Mass? If otherwise communion would be missed, I would say, accept the penance and mortification and receive Holy Communion. But pray. That's an imperative. Pray. Pray for the leaders in our church. Pray. These things in God's own time will not have to be suffered and painfully endured. Pray that priests in the same Mass every day, and pray that priests will exercise their priesthood and not allow themselves to be, what verb shall I use? Mothered by women. And the word mother, as you know, can mean love. It can also mean being controlled. If only those who pray are saved, how does the pagan pray to receive salvation? The whole, what we call pagan world that has faith, prays. And they pray more than most Catholics. Do you hear me? More. in terms of clock hours. And, of course, God will judge them only by the lights which they've received. If they believe that Brahma or Krishna or whatever gods or goddesses they believe in, they invoke them and have not had access to the truth that, say, Christ revealed, they are praying and God will accept even their misguided prayers. What are the proper vestments a priest should wear for Mass? Well, for Mass you should wear a stole and the first an alb. An alb and a stole and a chasuble if one is available. If, however, there are many priests celebrating, the priest may be in an alb and a stole and a cincture, either as part of the alb or a separate cincture. How is the stole to be worn? Well, obviously, around the neck. Can anything be worn over the chasuble? Well, the stole can be. That's the question. The stole can be over the chasuble, but normally the stole is worn below the chasuble, over the alb, but below the chasuble. Pray. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. That priest will offer Mass in their sacred vestments. Heard the early church in Antioch used water instead of wine and performed reconsecration. They used water based on the miracle of Cana. Was their consecration valid? No. First of all, nowadays you never know what you're going to read or hear. Some bizarre things. In Antioch, early church in Antioch, instead of wine, using water. I've never heard it. I don't think they did. But if they did, they did not consecrate. Please talk about fundamentalism. Well, we can have a course on fundamentalism. The word fundamentalism was coined by the liberal Protestant churches when some of the Protestant denominations, especially the Baptists, when some denominations which saw that their church was going liberal, they decided on certain what they called fundamentals of the Christian faith. And that everybody who belonged to that church would have to subscribe to those fundamentals. What are some of those fundamentals? That God became man, belief in the incarnation. Secondly, faith in Christ, the living God who became man and dying on the cross for our salvation. Thirdly, belief that as Christ rose from the dead, really, really rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Faith in heaven and hell, there are two final eternal places, one of perfect happiness and one of perfect misery, heaven and hell. And then, the Protestant fundamentalists believe in the early second coming, that Christ will come to judge the world soon. And of course, there are all kinds of fundamentalist denominations. And nowadays, and of course that word was a nasty word, for a Protestant to call one of his fellow Protestants a fundamentalist, it was an insult. And now we Catholics who believe in the fundamentals of the Catholic faith are being nicknamed, among other bad names, fundamentalists. Like the bishop who told me, John, you've got a problem. You've got a fixation on dogma. That bishop, thanks. You may not realize that that's a high compliment. If a baptized practicing Catholic wants to divorce an unbaptized heathen to marry in a sacramental marriage, can he? No. You cannot enter a sacramental marriage unless both are baptized before marriage. Otherwise, well, there can be, if the church gives a dispensation, the couple can marry, but they cannot receive the sacrament. In other words, only two baptized people can receive the sacrament of matrimony. I heard that the Brothers of the Poor, Fidiates of Mother Teresa in Los Angeles, are in the habit of distributing condoms to the poor in L.A. Do you know if this is true? Would somebody please find out? Please find out. Needless to say, not approve of Mother Teresa. I hope not. But whoever asks this question, would you please find out and let me know? Let me know your sources. Though I should be on business in California this week. So I'll be right back. So find out. It would be tragic if it was true. Are you familiar with the apparitions going on at this time in Venezuela? People have told us that these are approved by the church. Are they? I'm not sure. Somebody could give me more information. Do you know? Is the Holy Father worried about the successor? His successor? Is he fearful that his successor will be too liberal? Do you know anything about Archbishop Martin of Milan, Italy? Please comment. Now, I don't think the Holy Father is worried that his successor will be too liberal. Do I know anything about Archbishop Martin of Milan, Italy? All I know is he's a good Jesuit, very strong in his faith. All that I know, well, God will judge. But he's a good believing archbishop. Do you believe that the coming of the Antichrist is near? Will he be a political or spiritual person or a combination of both? Please comment. Well, as you know, the Antichrist, or at least an Antichrist, was already on earth in the first century of the Christian era. Now, do you believe that the coming of the Antichrist is near? If by the coming of the Antichrist, the questioner meant, this will be then the early end of the world, the answer is no. Remember, for God, 1,000 years are like 2 days. So, as far as Christ is concerned, who is God? Christianity is less than 2 days old. You've got millennia to go. And one reason is the Jewish people have to be converted. Moreover, the gospel has to be preached to the whole world. How can we discern to which myriad apparitions or which myriad apparitions are authentic? Well, I would say there are two ways. First, approved by the church, where the Holy See, which is rather rare, or even by the bishop, really approved. But I distinguish between two kinds of approval, even by the church. There's the approval of the apparition qua apparition. And there was a genuinely supernatural communication. And secondly, the approval of the message or the content of the revelation. In other words, there is such a thing as a genuine mystic who received real revelations from on high. But that person, having received even genuine revelations, lest that person remain faithful to God, what may have been originally genuine communications from God, they may no longer be trustworthy because the person had, for example, become proud or boasted. The last thing that any genuine mystic does, the last thing, is publicize revelations. Why do we have a humanistic handshake during the most sublime part of Holy Mass? Why can't we shake hands after Mass or outside the church? Well, just for the record, whenever I offer Mass, and I am free to do so, I never have what is called the kiss of peace. And with the missionaries of charity, it's easy, because their kiss of peace is they bow to each other. So I bow, they bow back, and that's the end. And by the way, this called kiss of peace is totally optional for the priest. It is not at all binding as part of the Eucharistic liturgy. Do you know about a movement that is promoting and asking the Holy Father to proclaim as a dogma of the faith Mary's title as mediatrix or co-redemptrix and advocate? Yes. It may well be that the Holy Father will indeed even define the dogma. The modern popes, surely the present one, are so devoted to Our Lady that they could well define as a dogma that Mary is the mediatrix, not only in the sense that she conceived and gave birth to Christ, but that she is now the channel through whom Christ communicates His grace. It would be definable doctrine. If one is excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church by attending Pius X Masses, how can one be in good standing with Rome while attending heretical Novus Ordo Masses? Well, first of all, to attend, say to satisfy one's Sunday obligation, a Mass, it's called the Pope Pius X Mass, there's no excommunication, just for the record. And then, while attending heretical Novus Ordo Masses, oh please, may I ask, Never again, anyone submit a question like this one. Because whether the person is here or the question was written beforehand and somebody else submitted it for that person, in the Mass, that Father and I offered today was a heretical Mass. That's a lie. And the big problem, this is one of my duties that the Vatican has given me, is to bring back those who do speak of the Novus Ordo Mass as a heretical. Their problem is very simple. It's pride. It's the Archbishop of Fevre's main problem. It's the Archbishop of Fevre's main problem. A bishop friend of mine knows Archbishop Lefebvre from way back from his studies in theology. And the bishop assured me Lefebvre was not a bright student. Now God knows in Reno all kinds of abuses that have come in to what we call, say, the Novus Ordo Mass. But let no one ever again submit this kind of a question in this class. I'll pray for this person's conversion. Is a little parable from Australia to be our next pope? Oh, no. Are his fellow seers authentic? No. And he shouts, no. Why did Mary, or how did Mary experience God's mercy if she never sinned? Oh, she experienced God's mercy by anticipation. How merciful God has been to us. All the sins we might have committed, right? All the temptation we could have been exposed to. Mary, therefore, was the object of God's mercy by anticipation. As we say, she was pre-redeemed. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. We pay our taxes, state and federal, even though our government promotes abortion, or otherwise we may go to prison. But what happens in our churches, especially our parishes, where abuses by our pastors are committed, are we still obligated to support our own parish? Well, the best answer for this is what one of my students in Chicago, when I was teaching there, a layman, same basic question. He devised the idea of producing just several thousand wooden dollars. Have you ever seen them? One side says no dogma, and the other side says no dollars. As you know, the tragedy is, and it's a tragedy, that so many Catholics are being deprived of what under God they have a right to. Needless to say, I could speak for hours. Since baptism removes all sin and guilt, has the Church ever canonized a person who was baptized and then died soon after? No. That's the easy way out. In order to be canonized, even beatified, the person must have given evidence of practicing heroic virtue. Now, martyrs then, they are proved by the Church, are canonized because martyrdom is heroic virtue. Or those who have not been martyred, if they are to be canonized, there must be evidence of their having practiced heroic virtue, which means what? Which means virtue that is humanly impossible to practice even with ordinary grace. Like what? You must have persecution. If you want to become a saint, you've got to experience some persecution. You don't have to call people up. Would you please persecute me? Let me tell you. In the measure in which you are faithful to Christ, you're going to make enemies just because you are what you are. Matthew 2:23 mentions a prophecy being fulfilled that Jesus would be identified as being from Nazareth, But obviously, this is not found in the Old Testament. Does it refer to some verbal tradition? Could be, yes. In fact, we hear or we read that he would be the Nazarene. Yes, he need not have been in the written revelation. When is anger a mortal sin? Anger is a mortal sin if it would lead to doing something which is gravely forbidden by God. Like what? Say murder. Or defamation of character. And I hope you hear this again. Is it possible to commit murder with one's speech? Yes. Can we kill a human being with our tongue? Yes. Yes. Destroying a person's character. In the case of a friend who married once and because of adultery his spouse not wanting children got a divorce, married a second time and because of alcohol abuse and adultery got the second marriage annulled. One child born of the second marriage. Now, this person have a right to marry a third time if after counseling, conversion, and 11 years of single life have a right to marry a third time if she or he finds a good Christian or Catholic partner and wants to marry. What happens to the child's state of grace after the parents have divorced? Well, the child does not lose its state of grace because the parents have divorced. If I read this correctly, it seems that yes, the person could legitimately, quote, marry a third time. And as we know, we are living in the most unstable society on earth today. And as a consequence, people can enter into marriage, not really intend to enter into a lifelong, and a lifelong agreement, one spouse and they want children. Yes. In fact, this is one of the grounds that I can justify for granting annulments. Where the person, at least one of the partners to a marriage, do not really intend either to have children or make it a lifelong contract. Because those are the conditions for a valid contract between any two people. They must want to remain together for life. Otherwise, it's not a valid contract. And they must want children. Again, to not want children would invalidate the marriage from the very beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, crusade of prayer for the family. Mary, Mother of God, at your request, Jesus worked his first miracle. He changed water into wine for the wedding guests at Cana in Galilee.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series, or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.